are listening to a message from Stonegate Church. For more information about Stonegate and additional audio resources, please visit stonegate.church.
Buenos días, Stonegate. Para mí un placer estar con ustedes. Es un gozo, un privilegio. Así que espero que disfrutemos juntos de nuestro Señor Jesucristo.
Juan says, hey. This is my friend, Juan Hernandez Chica. We've been in partnership with him for a couple years now. We actually got to send our first trip through our student ministry team, high school trip this last summer. We got a picture of him up here. Look at those beautiful vases right there. It's amazing. Yeah, we got to send them to Barranquilla, Colombia to help out with the work there. Juan has been planting a church, Rescue Mission Church. It's pretty established now. It's a little over 550 people, approaching 600 people. He's got a seminary attached to the church that runs about 10,000 students, both in person and online. Literally every Spanish-speaking country in South America and beyond has a representative coming to his seminary to be trained for the work of ministry, which is why we partnered with them. The biggie on the eye chart for missions at Stonegate is church planting. If you press the Bible, missions is seeing healthy churches grow and expand and be planted throughout the world. So what we want to do here at Stonegate is we want to be missionally minded people as we engage with church planters like Juan, so that the content, the hard context, the hard to reach places all get a church plant where there will be a thriving gospel-centered presence in that community from here on. So we're here, we're proud to support Juan, we're proud to be in partnership with him. We want him to be a household name among you as you pray for him and as you go and join in mission with them. So we're going to be making those asks next year if you want to come with us and come see what God's doing in Barranquilla, Colombia, and to be a part of the church planting work that we're doing down there. Juan, we're so happy to have you, man.
Thank you, it's my privilege. Thank you, brother. Good morning, Stonegate. It's my privilege to be with you during this morning. Please receive greetings from the saints in Barranquilla, Colombia, where I live and where the church is gathering in this very moment, worshiping our King Jesus Christ. So please allow me to pray together, and we'll go to the Word of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be with you today, with your saints at Stonegate. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word that allow us to see who you are, who we are. Thank you, because it's only by the work of Jesus Christ that we can come to you with no fear, but with hope that we will be accepted by you. And we ask you in Jesus' name that you open eyes, that you open ears, that you open minds, so my dear brothers and sisters can understand your word. Also, we ask you for those who are here and still are not saved, that you change their heart so they can believe in Jesus and they can receive salvation. Lord, I ask you with my dear brothers and sisters that you help me, because it's impossible for a man like me with so much limitations physically, mentally, intellectually, but spiritually also, to proclaim your word in the perfect way. But I ask you in Jesus' name that at the end of my sermon, I can be a worker who has been approved by you, because I didn't detour your word to left or right. In Jesus' name, for his glory and for the sake of his church, amen and amen. So I don't know exactly where you land in terms of believing in the gift of tongues, but this morning I need you to be a believer so you can understand what I'm about to tell you from the Word of God, so you need to believe it. Also, before I go deep in the text, I just want to thank you for your ongoing support as a church to the work that the Lord has entrusted to us in Barranquilla, Colombia, and through the seminary Psalm 119, where we are, as Pastor Justin just pointed out, more than 10,000 students, both in person and online. But the big miracle there is that those 10,000 students are studying for free. They pay zero. They are not assuming any cost. So that's a huge miracle that we are providing quality education for ministry. They have the capacity to do that without thinking about money, so which is a big obstacle, especially in Latin context. So thank you for your faithfulness to your local church. Continue being faithful to the Stonegate giving, so you are taking part of what Lord is doing through the seminary and the churches we are planting in Colombia. You are more than welcome to visit. So now, with that in mind, Let us go to the text that we have. This is a beautiful psalm, only four verses, but these verses has so much for us this morning. And my hope is that you can see how related we are with this text as a church. Sometimes when we read the Old Testament, we might think, well, that's so far away from us. That's so different from our context. For example, this is an ascendant song. So the people of God, the people of Israel, were singing this song while they were going up to Jerusalem once per year. And maybe you think, well, I would love to go to Jerusalem, but I'm not planning to go to Jerusalem every year. I'm not singing on the way to that city. But in a spiritual way, we are in this very moment on our way to our Jerusalem in heaven. We are walking with the people of God in this very moment, walking to that eternal city, walking to the place where we are to spend our whole life together with the people of God in the presence of our King Jesus Christ. So it's good for us to keep in mind, because this is a model. How can we endure difficult times? How can we endure mockery, contempt, and scorn like while we walk through the Jerusalem in heaven? Having or being aware that the world has changed. I know a little bit of history of the United States. Being Christians a couple of decades ago was something very good. So the nation, the culture, sees like being Christian is a good thing, but that's not true anymore. At least not in every circle. If you have been in church around church, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, you might be aware how fast the culture is changing, how fast the world is like rejecting everything we believe about God and about the Word of God, how we are the subject of jokes in social media, how our beliefs, our convictions are the subject of making us look ridiculous, like stupid people, because we believe what we believe. So Pastor Justin was speaking about First Look, and the idea of prevent abortion sounds really silly to the world. The culture is pushing against us. The culture, I think Francesca was sharing in his testimony, that when she moved to the school, the new school, the kids around her told her, forget about God. You have to fix your eyes in the early teens, the teens of the world. That's happening. And for those of you who graduate in last May and are about to go into college, unless maybe you are going to a Christian college, it's a jungle out there. You will be struggling a lot of things. You will be enduring a lot of things because you say, well, no, I was born as a man, so I can change. I was born as a lady, I can't change. I'm supposed to get married with a person of the other sex. I believe in fidelity. I believe in living a life to honor Jesus Christ. And the world will turn back on you and say, how come you are so silly? We are living in the 21st century. It's easy, just go and watch a movie. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ has been used as the most common curse in every single movie. It's difficult to see a movie without hearing that they are mocking our Lord and his big name. It's easy to go on social media and see all the memes, all the posts against us and making us look like fool people. So if that's your case, if at some point you have suffered by just for trusting God and believing his word, you are in good company with this psalm. You are in good company with this text, because you are part of God's people going up to Jerusalem, enduring difficult times, but we are not here just to lament. We are not here this morning just to say, oh, this is so difficult. Please, Lord, take me out of this world. Yes, our hope is for God to come to send Jesus back and take us home in Jerusalem in heaven. But it might be a while, probably. We don't know. I hope Jesus comes back today. Amen? But might be another 2,000 years. We don't know. But we can learn how to walk among these difficulties with the people of God, gazing our eyes, gazing our look, in the God who is enthroned in heaven. So this is what I hope for us to learn this very morning. That's my argument. Fix your gaze on the sovereign King who suffered mockery and contempt. That's what I want you to leave this building believing, embracing, and living out after this sermon. Fix your gaze on the sovereign King who suffered mockery and contempt. So we don't know a lot about this psalm. We don't know who the writer is, for sure. Some people say it's David, probably. I don't know. We don't know the context who was surrounded the writer of this psalm. Some people say, some scholars say, might be during the Babylonian exile, probably. Others say that was when they came back and were during the process of Nehemiah being ruling Israel, probably, because at that time we see in his book that a lot of people were contempt and mocking the people of God while they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, probably. But no matter the circumstances that were surrounded when the song was written, we know for sure that the people of God were struggling, that the people of God were suffering mockery, that the people of God, even though they were going up to Jerusalem, they realized this is not easy. They were going up to offer a sacrifice in the hope that God forgive his sins, to take accept the sacrifice of a lamb, but they were aware this is not easy. We need God to intervene. We need God to help us out. So I want to walk with you and see how the writer of the text and God, who is the one who inspired this psalm, help us or allow us to see three ways that we are to lift our eyes to God while we walk to our Jerusalem, to our city in heaven. So number one, we must lift our eyes to God as the King whose throne is in heaven. Lift up your eyes to God as the King whose throne is in heaven. The theme of kings is very important in the book of Psalms. If you go, we won't go but for the sake of time, but if you go to Psalm 2, you will see there in three verses, I think it's 2, 4, and 6, where the writer is speaking about how the kings of the earth are conspiring together, are making plots against the King in heaven, how they are trying to get off of God's ruling, but how God from heaven is laughing on them, and how God is saying, I have placed, I have established my King in Zion. That King we know, because we can't pretend while reading this text that we don't know the truth, that we don't know the answer, because we live in the other side of the cross. Is that making sense? It makes sense in Spanish. I don't know if that makes sense in English. We don't live there, we live here. So we know who that King is. So we know what King is God speaking about in Psalm 2. So we know who King is this Psalm 123 speaking about. So if you go with me to verse 1, the Psalm says, I lift my eyes to you. This you is very important, because this you in this text has only one person that is pointing out to. That person is the King whose throne is enthroned in heaven. But I want to ask you, who is the you that comes to your heart and to your mind when you are struggling? If we are being honest, and we are Christians, so Christians are supposed to be honest, and I will confess on my own shame that you, when I struggle, when I face difficulties, when I'm enduring hard things because of the sake of the kingdom of God, so often the you in my heart and mind is not God, it's not Jesus. Sometimes maybe the you for you might be your spouse, so you look to your spouse, can be your parents, can be your grandfather who promised you that he will give you a big inheritance when he passed away. Sometimes he's the boss that promised you that you will be promoted to be the general manager, the CEO of a big company. might be the college where you are attending or where you want to attend, might be that you belong to Texas, the Lone Star State. So I'm in Texas, so I'm secure, I'm covered because I live in Texas. I might be your political party, might be the account that you have in the Bahamas. Oh, some of you have it, that's good. So what or who is the you are thinking when you are facing difficulties? That's very important, because that you shows where your trust really is. As Christians, we are supposed to look that you, to you should be always, the first time always should be to Jesus, the King whose throne is in heaven. My dear brothers and sisters, we are not speaking about any king. We are speaking about the King who creates the whole universe. We are speaking about the King whose throne is above all the other kings, all the other thrones on earth. No matter how powerful a man can be, no matter how rich a man can be, no matter how influence a man can have on other people, there is no king who matches the King whose throne is in heaven. That is the true King. That is the most powerful King. And no matter how good a king on earth, or a president, or a candidate, or a CEO can be, a parent, how good a parent can be, all the kings on earth are finite. They will die. And once they die, all the good things that they have done might be taken away from the next king. No matter how evil a king can be on earth, they will die. And things can be solved. So we can put, or we should put our trust and fix our eyes, look higher, because the King we trust has his throne in heaven. Make sense? Brothers, our King, Jesus, is the King who, according to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, sustained the whole universe with the power of his word. That's amazing. That's the King we were worshiping, we were singing about. But also, that's bringing hope, because this King is also our Father. So we relate to this King, not like a king that is so far away from us. A king, you know, the early kings, they try to keep distance between them and the common people. But this King is always welcoming us. This King is always inviting us to spend time with him. This King is always saying, hey, you belong to me. I want to be with you. And this King is our Father. I remember when I was growing up, 5-6 years old, so I used to go to the school, and this kid was always taking my lunch. Always, he punched me and he took away my lunch. So I remember thinking, I will tell my daddy, I will tell my dad, and my dad will take care of business. So I am very tall in comparison to my dad, so you can imagine my dad. So the kid never paid attention to me when I say I tell my daddy. So maybe he thought, oh, your daddy is nothing. So when I grew up, I realized, oh, my dad wasn't so tall. So that's the reason the kid always keep taking my lunch away. But our Father in heaven is huge. Our Father in heaven is so powerful. Our Father in heaven, our King, has no match. He is invincible. He is the one with the true power. He is the one who can make whatever he wants to do. Nobody can tell him what to do. Nobody can pretend or stop him or prevent him to achieve what he has on mind to do. That's the King we are supposed to fix our eyes. So when we are walking to our Jerusalem in heaven, please keep that in mind, that you are to look to the King whose throne is in heaven. Amen. Number two, we must lift our eyes to God as the Master who commands and provides. As the Master who commands and provides. Verse 2, like a servant's eyes on his master's hand, like a servant's girl's eyes on her mistress's hand, so our eyes are on the Lord, our God, until he'll show us favor, mercy. Why is the writer making a difference. But looks like a little difference between, okay, I'm lifting my eyes to God as the King whose throne is in heaven, but later on he says, I lift my eyes to God as the master. Why? Ain't suppose any king to be the master as well? If he's a king, he's also a master. But I believe the Holy Spirit allows us to see, remind the people of Israel, but also today for us as well. Maybe not to you. You are people from Texas. You are holier than Colombians. But it's so easy for me to make a distinction between Jesus being a king and Jesus being my master. It's easy. We can worship Jesus as a king. Oh, you are my king. And we can tell people, you should know my king. My king is so powerful. My king is so merciful. My king is so full of love. My king is so full of grace. He rules from heaven. Everything is sustained by his word. Okay, do you obey your king? No, he's just my king. Not my master. King Charles in England, he knows about it. The kingship of King Charles in England is symbolic. He has basically zero authority over the people he rules. He can go to any house and tell the people in the house of England, in England, hey, you are not supposed to eat that. He can't go to any house, any England citizen, and tell him, okay, you can use your time like that. He can't go to any England citizen and tell him, you are not supposed to marry that person, you are not supposed to change or try to change your gender. He can basically give any command, any order. So that's a symbolic kingship. And people enjoy the kingship, the symbolic kingship, because If you talk to maybe people from England, they will tell you, oh, it's so amazing to see King Charles in the dressing, fancy dressing, and the parade with all the horses before him and in the royal balls. That's beautiful, but he has zero authority. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to change that. We need to see Jesus. Fix our gaze in Jesus, not just as a king, but also as a master. And the master in this verse 2 is doing basically two things. His hand, or basically the servant, is fixing his eyes in his hand, because from the hands of the master comes provision and commands. I got the opportunity 2 months ago. I was invited to go to the Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta. If you have been there, I got the chance to see the sea lions show. So there were 3 sea lions on the stage, and they were doing all these tricks, you know, moving to the right, moving to the left, flipping back, and going to the water, getting out of the water. But I noticed something. And every sea lion, each sea lion, they were only looking to the trainer's hand. They never took their sight out of the trainer's hand. Why? Because out of the trainer's hand came fish all the time. Come on, another fish. So they were always looking. And out of the hands, the trainer's hands, came commands. To the right, to the left, flip over, come here, go back to the pool. So I thought, those sea lions know better than so many Christians about a master. Please, don't go and tell Pastor Rodney, hey, this guy from Colombia told us that we are supposed to be sea lions. I'm not saying that. But I think that creates a good illustration how you see your relationship with Jesus as your king and master. Can Jesus really tell you how to live? Can Jesus really tell you how to talk? How to think, what to embrace, what to reject? Is he really the hand you are looking, that you are fixing your eyes, lifting your eyes to him? But also, this is a beautiful text, because brothers and sisters, we are supposed to look at Jesus' hands for, provision and commands. But there is a beautiful aspect of Jesus' hands. If you go quickly with me, because of the sake of time, to John 20, 20, John 20, 20 says like this. Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. This is speaking about the resurrection. After Jesus resurrected, he appeared in the middle of his disciples' meeting. And he showed them, because they were doubting, and he showed them the hands and his side. The question is why? Why Jesus did that? Because they need to see the wounds of the nails. They need to see, yes, this is the same person who was crucified on our behalf on that cross. Brothers, when we see the hands of our masters, we are reminded immediately that our master is a good master, that our king is a good master who loves us. Because when we look, when we fix our eyes in Jesus' hands, we won't see only instructions and provision, we will see love. We will see compassion. We will see mercy. We will see proof that he really loves us. No matter the situation we are enduring, no matter the mockery that we are facing, we see his hands and we will see his wounds. And that wounds take us back to the cross. And the cross take us back to our sin. And our sin take us back to our destiny. It was to be a really bad destiny. But because of those hands who were pierced in the cross, now we are going to our Jerusalem in heaven. Those hands are good hands. Our Jesus, our Christ, our King Jesus is a good master. Amen? That leads us to the third point. We must lift our eyes to God as the God who humbles the proud and gives grace to the humble. Let's go to the text. Verse 3, show us favor, Lord. Show us favor, for we have had more than enough contempt. We have had more than enough scorn from the arrogant and contempt from the proud. So why the people is thinking about this? Because they know God. They know that God opposed the pride, that God opposed the arrogant, but he exalts the humble. So when we think about these two verses, we need to think about the people of God going up to Jerusalem, suffering mockery, suffering scorn, but also remember that when we go through that, we know there is justice coming. We know that there is a king whose throne is in heaven, who will take care of business, that we will oppose, that he always opposed the arrogant, but he exalts the humble. So it's easy for us, maybe this morning you think, okay, so God will exalt me at some point. Let me remind you that you are not as humble as you think you are. I am not. Maybe you are innocent when they are accusing you in a falsely way because you believe what you believe. But if God is going to bring justice on us about humble and pride, I think we will end in a bad way. So how can we relate to this and not being in fear? Only because those hands were pierced, but also we find comfort because when you go to God and you say, Lord, I have had more than enough, our God, our King, it's not a king who can't understand us. If you go quickly with me to Luke 23, where I think we will be able to see how Jesus fulfilled this psalm, Luke 23, verse 11, speaking about when Jesus was sent to Herod, the king of earth in that moment. Then Herod, verse 11 of chapter 23 of Luke, then Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt, mocked him, dressed him in a bright clothing, and sent him back to Pilate. I don't know if I said that right in English. It's even difficult in Spanish. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was treated with contempt. He's the true servant. He's the true humble servant. He's the true one who was mocked without any cause. He's the true one who suffered all the content, who deal with this. So now we enjoy a really big hope in heaven, but also while we are being mocked, we can turn to Jesus and he will say, I got you. I know what you're dealing with. I understand you. And also in chapter 22 of Luke, Luke allows us to see that they blind Jesus' eyes and they punch him and say, come on, Christ, guess who punched you? They were mocking him. So he knows what we're enduring. But let me make this point crystal clear. We are not speaking about mockery. When people tell you that you look like a hobbit, that they, I don't know, they change your name, for example, Pastor Justin Jackson, no, Justin Baggins. Now, we are not speaking about that kind of mockery. That is bad. But we are speaking about that you are being mocked because you believe what the Bible says. It's because you want to honor God with your life. You are being mockery because you want to honor Christ in every single decision, in every single step you take to raise your kids, for example, and that you decide to disciple and to raise your kids according to the Bible, people will mock you in the school. If you decide to be a young adult, a young person who will keep himself in purity and will follow the pursue maybe a marriage, if God allows you to do that, according to God's purpose, people will mock you. If you want to be honest in your business, if you want to pay your taxes, nobody wants to pay their taxes, but if you pay your taxes because you understand the Bible and you say, I will do it, and you don't try to take advantage of every single situation because you follow Jesus, people will mock you. But Jesus understands us. Jesus is the true humble servant who was humiliated, mocked, but now he's been exalted on the right hand of God the Father. So we can fix our eyes in Jesus while we endure, while we suffer all the mockery, all the contempt of the world. Brothers, also, the people of Israel were going up to Jerusalem with the hope in mind that God accept the sacrifice so they will enjoy another year of mercy and favor. But when we are in this side of the cross, we are going up to Jerusalem, not keeping in mind will God show us favor, but in contrast with them, we continue walking while we endure in difficult times because we know that the favor of God is already upon us. Because Jesus was our sacrifice. He is the final sacrifice. The Father accepts the sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has been our sacrifice before God. So when we face difficulties, when we struggle with mockery, we can always remember that God's favor is already upon us. That God's mercy is already with us. That no matter the circumstances, God, the King, whose throne is in heaven, will never reject us, will never put us aside. You know, also the psalm allows us to see in verse 3 that they are saying, show us favor, Lord, show us favor, for we have had more than enough contempt. Contempt. But that's pressing on God. That's continue praying. And we are called here that continue praying, continue presenting your difficulties before God. As the parable that Jesus told in Luke 11, this guy who received a friend at midnight and has no bread, he goes to his neighbor's house and knocks the door, please give me some bread because I don't have any food to give to my guest. And the guy inside says, hey, go away, it's midnight, I'm already in bed. But this guy continued knocking, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread, give me bread. So eventually the guy woke up and gave him some bread, probably, I'm thinking this, he slammed the door behind, don't come over again. That's not our God. We continue praying and praying and praying and praying, and he opens the door and says, come every time you need it. Come every time you want to come. I enjoy being with you in this very moment. Also, for those of you who knows that you are not believers in this moment, that you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, I just want you to think that, to help you thinking that a lot of people were walking through Jerusalem, and at some point, some of them walked with the very Jesus Christ. Because Jesus lived as a Jewish. So she sang that song. He went up to Jerusalem. He was with them singing this song, and they miss it. So please don't do it. Because you can be in this very room listening about this king in heaven and totally miss it. He's welcoming you. He's calling you. And he's bringing comfort. Brothers and sisters, I have 1 minute. I can't promise you that the mockery will stop. I can't even promise you that the culture surrounding us is going to be more tolerant with our beliefs. I can't promise you that life will be easier for you. Maybe it's going to be getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe we can start even facing legal issues because we believe what we believe. But take courage in this. The true King in heaven, he knows you by name. The true King in heaven will do justice. He will take you home. So let's keep singing together while we continue our way up to the Jerusalem in heaven. So praise be the Lord our God, who suffered contempt and allowed us to keep walking because he's with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because in Jesus Christ, we have the perfect example. We have love. We have hope. And we have security of justice. Let us walk in a manner that brings honors to you, in the church, in the family, and all the way around us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.